Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome, welcome one and all to The Late Show. I am your host, Stephen Colbert. And ladies and gentlemen, you know why the excitement, of course. Yeah. It is Super Tuesday, the biggest single day on the presidential primary calendar. So let's dive right into the story that will impact our nation for generations to come. A Chilean TV broadcast cut beer ads into Star Wars. That's right. The internet today is abuzz that just moments ago, in 2003, a television broadcast in Chile played this actual footage, which 21 years later has now gone viral.
I understand you've become quite a good pilot yourself. And he was a good friend. Which reminds me, I have something here for you. Your father wanted you to have this when you were old enough.
Cerveza Cristal! Cerveza Cristal!
Now, it was subtle, but you may have noticed a tasteful product placement for the Chilean beer Cerveza Cristal. I'm sorry, I mispronounced that. Cerveza Cristal! And that's not all. They also edited ads into a scene where Luke finds Cerveza Cristal in the Dagobah system and into this scene with the Emperor.
It is pointless to resist, my son.
Cerveza Cristal!
And of course, the devastating moment at the end of Empire Strikes Back when Darth Vader reveals,
Luke, I am your lager.
It is completely insane that they only did this with Star Wars, because the smooth drinking taste of Cerveza Cristal fits seamlessly into any classic movie.
And you have my brother.
And mine.
Cerveza Cristal! Cerveza Cristal! Cerveza Cristal!
But you can all rest assured, here at The Late Show, we will never stoop to that kind of blatant product placement. Isn't that right, Lewis?
That's right, Steve. Cerveza Cristal! Cerveza Cristal!
Now, as I believe I mentioned earlier in the broadcast, today is Super Tuesday, or as they call it in Chile, Cinco de Marzo. It's the biggest day of the U.S. presidential primaries, with voters heading to the polls in Alabama, California, Colorado, Oklahoma, Utah, North Carolina, Tennessee, Maine, Arkansas, Massachusetts, Minnesota, Alaska, Texas, Vermont, Virginia, and American Samoa. And if you need a way to remember all the Super Tuesday states, just use the helpful mnemonic, Account Mama TV Vas. Now, with a Biden-Trump rematch looking inevitable at this point, cable news has been struggling to generate Super Tuesday excitement this year. Check out CNN, who sent John Berman out to cover all the hot action at a mail ballot drop box.
The polls are open in Castle Rock, Colorado, in a manner of speaking. That's because, in essence, the polls are always open in Colorado. The major means of voting here is by mail or by Dropbox. You can see the Dropbox right there behind me. Voter ballot Dropbox, it says, which is a sign that it is a Dropbox.
Thank you, John. That clears up a lot of confusion. At least that's what it says in my teleprompter here, which is a sign that it clears up a lot of confusion. Now, there's one thing that could still drive voter turnout today, and that's that Taylor Swift told her 282 million Instagram followers to vote in Super Tuesday's primaries, but refrained from endorsing any specific candidates or political party. We haven't seen a celebrity take a stance this boldly neutral since Rob Lowe went to an NFL game with a hat that said NFL. He was just rooting for the contract, right? Anyway, spoiler, it's Biden-Trump. It's always been Biden-Trump. It will always be Biden-Trump. But not if you ask the voters, who seem to still be in denial. In a recent poll, almost 50% of respondents said they believe it is likely Democrats will replace Biden with another candidate before the election. No. No, they won't. It's Trump versus Biden. Stop making up election fanfic. Ooh, what if Tom Brady comes out of retirement and runs for president? He could make Gronk secretary of Gronking. And then they kiss. This speculation has gotten so out of hand that today, former First Lady Michelle Obama's office had to formally announce that she will not be running for president in 2024, which means she's running. Methinks she doth protest. I, for one, hope she picks Gronk as her running mate. But it is going to be Joe Biden. Not only that, Joe is saying it's no more Mr. Nice Joe. He's unveiling a new strategy, go for Trump's jugular. You get him, Joe. Yeah, go for the jugular. Just one problem with that plan. Good luck finding a jugular in that chin scrotum. Now, advisors say that Biden is convinced he'll rattle Trump if he taunts him daily, which will cause Trump to go haywire in public. Yes, he'll go crazy, as opposed to his current rational public message. Me likey, mein Kampf, bing, 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 bang, Russia. Oh. 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 Thank you. Thank you. The White House also believes an aggressive strategy will dampen concerns about Biden's age by showing that at 81, he can still throw a Scranton punch. That's right. Come on, Jack. Here comes the old Pennsylvania Haymaker Express. Hold on. Brace yourself. Here we go. Here we go. There you go. Oh, there you go. Now, hold still. Don't move. Hold still. Here it comes. Here it comes. Hold on. Right there. Come back here. Come back here, buddy. But the president is not out there fighting alone. Oh, no. He is backed by Joe Biden superfans, many of them older, and most of them women. That's right. Taylor's got the Swifties. Beyonce's got the Beehive. But Joe's got the early bird special. I will have the scrod. But not all Joe boosters are older. One 28-year-old told reporters, he loves Biden, quote, and I feel like I'm the only one. Does anybody care that I exist? You're not the only one that feels that way. In fact, it's Nikki Haley's campaign slogan. Ooh, speaking of Nikki Haley, yesterday she spoke to supporters in Texas and took a victory lap for being the last woman standing.
This has been a whirlwind. Yeah, I announced probably just over a year ago. We had 14 people in the race. I defeated a dozen of the fellas. I just have one more fella I gotta catch up to.
That fella, my Lyft driver. He's taking me back to South Carolina where they do not like me. Oh, there's some rich guy news. You know rich people? Yeah, there's news. According to the Bloomberg Billionaires Index, Amazon founder Jeff Bezos has surpassed Elon Musk as the world's richest person. Congratulations, Jeff. It's the second list you've topped this year after world's most divorced man. As of Monday, Bezos' net worth was $200 billion, while Musk's was $198 billion, and luxury brand CEO Bernard Arnault's net worth was $197 billion. $197 billion? Okay, Puri. Embarrassing much? You know what? Don't even bother showing up to this year's Eyes Wide Shut party. Nobody wants to spank you in the gazebo. Bezos. I just said gazebo and then Bezos. That sounds good. Bezos gazebos. I bet he's got a gazebo. If I was Bezos, I'd have a gazebo. Bezos is not afraid to show off his billions. He's got two mansions and a private island known as Billionaire Bunker and a $500 million super yacht, which features a helicopter landing pad, a swimming pool, and a mermaid resembling his fiancée, Lauren Sanchez, at the bow. Sounds a little bit over the top, but that's just how men express their love. That's why on the hood of my car, I have an Evie bobblehead. There's, sure. Evie. Okay. Oh, there's some bad news for college kids looking to party, because after heightened levels of crime during spring break, Miami Beach has announced that they are breaking up with spring breakers. Oh, that's terrible. And it explains Pitbull's latest track, I'm Sad, parentheses, Clap That Booty, featuring Mark Anthony. Doesn't matter what emotion you have. Yeah. Clap that booty.
Hey, well.
City residents have had enough of the destructive behavior from visiting college kids, with one business owner speaking out.
On Ocean Drive, Mango's nightclub owner David Wallach has seen it firsthand.
Last year, I was in 16 stampedes.
16 stampedes. Well, that's what Miami gets for holding their annual Running of the Chads. Miami's also cracking down on what you're allowed to do on the beach, as Miami has prohibited smoking cigarettes, narcotics, and marijuana, large tents, and loud music. No surprise, they've also banned the consumption of alcohol, with one notable exception. We got a great show for you tonight.
Coming up, Senator Bernie Sanders.
Here's the thing about eating. We all have to do it, sometimes even a few times a day. But if you already have a lot on your plate that isn't food, like stuff to do, figuring out your meals can be stressful. By the time you get breakfast going, it could be lunchtime. And then what? Eat your breakfast for lunch? Is that allowed? Yes, you're a grown-up who can make their own choices. And whether that choice is eating breakfast for every meal or bending to society's construct of proper mealtimes, you can eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious ready-to-eat meals that can be ready in as little as 2 minutes. Tailored to your schedule and weird eating habits, you have the flexibility to get as much or as little as you need. Pause or reschedule deliveries to suit your cool new breakfast-only lifestyle. You can even try meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus, if that's what you're into for breakfast. Or any meal. You do you. Head to factormeals.com/lateshow50 and use code lateshow50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code lateshow50 at factormeals.com/lateshow50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
Ladies and gentlemen, my guest tonight is a senator, a former presidential candidate, and current progressive leader. Please welcome back to The Late Show, Senator Bernie Sanders. Welcome back.
Good to be here.
Welcome back. Thank you for having me on your show.
Anytime.
Okay, listen, we all knew that Super Tuesday was coming. You know, there's no stopping it. By the way, would you mind saying the word Super Tuesday?
Super Tuesday.
Okay. Would you mind shouting the word Super Tuesday?
Super Tuesday!
We, around here at The Late Show, we just love Bernie Sanders yelling the word soup! As someone who's
I don't understand that, but I'm sure it's a good joke.
Yes.
I didn't get it.
You're known for ordering soup.
Okay.
It's not a complex joke. Okay, as someone who spent his life trying to push our nation forward, how does it feel for you to see so many voters returning to a person that I, for one, thought had been politically discredited even among his own party, Donald Trump?
It's distressing, to say the least. And what I am concerned about is I think that many people don't understand what a Trump presidency will look like. And it will be a disaster, not only for our country, but I think, you know, for the world. And if you look at... And if you look at, you know, Stephen, if you just look at the issues, and I don't want to rattle them all off, but, you know, take something like climate change. Every sane person on this earth understands that the world is getting warmer. I mean, right now in Texas, this is a terrible forest fire, the worst they've ever had. We've seen fires all over the world, heat waves, storms, unprecedented. Truth is, Trump does not even believe in the concept of climate change. We'll work with the fossil fuel industry to increase oil production, et cetera. And that will send a signal all over the world that the fight against climate change has basically been lost. And I wonder what kind of planet our kids and grandchildren will inherit. That's just one thing. Then if you look at women's rights, my God, women have struggled forever to be full citizens of this country, to be able to control their own bodies. If Trump wins, it'll be a massive, and his Republican colleagues, a massive setback to women's rights and the right of women to control their own bodies. In terms of economics, we have massive income and wealth inequality. I think Trump's proudest achievement is giving huge tax breaks to billionaires. And on it goes. So I hope that during, you know, the time that we have, that we're going to be able to articulate to the American people, especially working people, what a disaster Trump has been and will be for ordinary workers, and that President Biden needs to be reelected.
Did you hear that Jeff Bezos is once again the richest man in the world, beating out Elon Musk? Isn't that exciting? That's exciting, right? Exciting stuff. Is there anything you want to say to Mr. Bezos to congratulate him?
Don't get me going. You know that, Stephen. You did that on purpose.
What?
Right, but here you go. All right, I'm going to get going. Look, we should all, you know, we don't talk about it in Congress. We don't talk about it much in the media. But we have more income and wealth inequality in America today than we've ever had in our history. Three people, including Bezos, including Musk, three people have more wealth, own more wealth than the bottom half of American society. So the working class is struggling. 60% of our people live in paycheck to paycheck. You got a handful of these billionaires with incredible wealth and incredible power. And I know it sounds radical, but maybe we should create an economy that works for all, not just for Mr. Bezos and Mr. Musk.
We were saying one of the problems is that, you know, Forbes put out their billionaires list. They should put out a list of the people who pay the most taxes, because that would be even more impressive. We should start fetishizing paying taxes and contributing to society rather than the people who seem to be able to escape from having to do that ever.
You're right. Look.
That's right.
You got major corporation after major corporation paying not a nickel in federal taxes. You got billionaires who have an effective tax rate lower than working people. So you have a broken tax system in the midst of a corrupt political system, which these guys fund for that purpose. You ask Trump's friends, what's the thing you want the most? Oh, gee, I only have $14 billion. I need a tax break. You know, I'm struggling. So your point is well taken. We have enormous problems in our country, healthcare, housing, education, childcare. And these people on top are going to have to start paying their fair share of taxes so we can help address these issues.
We have to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more Senator Bernie Sanders, everybody. Stick around.
This episode is brought to you by La Quinta by Wyndham. Your work can take you all over the place, like Texas. You've never been, but it's going to be great because you're staying at La Quinta by Wyndham. Their free Bright Side breakfast will give you energy for the day ahead. And after, you can unwind using their free high-speed Wi-Fi. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book your stay today at LQ.com.
Hey, everybody. We're back here with the author of Hold On. It's okay to be angry about capitalism, Senator Bernie Sanders. Now, just a little while ago, shortly before our rehearsal today, Arizona Senator Kyrsten Sinema announced that she will not be seeking re-election this fall. Obviously, a lot of people are going to miss her. Are you? How much are you going to miss her?
Not at all.
She Look, was elected as a Democrat.
No. I want to make the point. All right. Way back when, I know it seems like a century ago, but in the midst of COVID 3 years ago, working with the president, we passed the American Rescue Plan, which went a long way to take us out of the terrible economic downspin that we were in and help us address the pandemic. What we understood is that bill, which was really consequential, was an emergency bill, right? Economic downturn, COVID. What we said, all right, let's deal with the structural crises facing America, the housing crisis, the childcare crisis, the healthcare crisis. We can do better for working people. We work with the president for something we call Build Back Better. We had zero Republican support. We had 48 people in the Democratic caucus prepared to transform this country on behalf of the working class of America. Two people, Sinema being one, Manchin the other, refused to support us. We couldn't pass it. So, no, I will not miss Sinema.
Now, you haven't, you have not stated whether you're going to announce for running again. Washington Post said this, allies urge Bernie Sanders to run for re-election. We won't let him retire. Senator Sanders, are you being held captive in Washington, D.C.? And if so, just say, no, Stephen, I'm fine.
No,
are you going to run?
I'll
They won't let you resign.
Yeah, well, okay. Well, I think that there's a constitutional issue there. But we'll make that. Look, you know, people in Vermont are not all that excited about never-ending campaigns. So trust me, we'll make that decision at the appropriate time.
Okay. A recent poll says 73% of registered voters think Biden is too old to be president. You're 1 year older than him. Are you worried about his age?
I'm worried about a lot of things. But I think the media has fixated a little bit too much on age. All right, age is a factor, all right? But what you want to look at is the totality of the person and what he or she accomplishes. If you look at what Biden has done, unemployment today, for the last 2 years, we've had unemployment under 4%, unprecedented in the last 50 years. We've created hundreds of thousands of decent-paying jobs. We've finally begun to take a step forward in lowering the outrageous cost of prescription drugs in this country. We're rebuilding our crumbling infrastructure. We're investing in sustainable energy. Those are real achievements. So I think rather than saying, oh, he made another gaffe today, oh, he doesn't walk all that well, you know, compare what he has done and what he wants to do with where Trump is coming from. I think people will come out for Biden big time. You know, but, you know, I feel very strongly that as a nation, we kind of sometimes think that politics is a beauty pageant. It's not. It's what the candidate stands for and what they're going to do for ordinary people that matters, not how well they walk or whether they forget something.
Now, the State of Union address to a joint session of Congress is this Thursday. Yep. We'll be here live afterwards making the jokes. If Bernie Sanders was given the State of the Union address on Thursday, what would he say the state of our union is?
God, I wish I was going to give that address. Matter of fact, now that you mention it, but...
You gave it a shot.
I gave it a shot. All right, this is what I would say. I would say that in the last couple of years, we have made some progress on a number of important issues. We have a long way to go. This is the greatest country on earth. This is the wealthiest nation on earth. We should not have the highest rate of childhood poverty of any major nation on earth. We should not be the only wealthy country that doesn't guarantee health care to all people as a human right. We should not have a federal minimum wage of $7.25 an hour. We should not have, as you've just mentioned, billionaires and large corporations not paying a nickel in federal income tax. We should lead the world in transforming our energy system to save the planet for our kids and grandchildren. You know, those are some of the issues. But I think what the president has got to recognize is that there are a lot of people who are hurting out there. People going to the grocery store, can't afford food, can't afford to fill up their gas tanks, working incredible hours, having a hard time taking care of their kids or their parents. So we have made some progress, but the president has got to understand we have a long way to go. We have to have the courage, Stephen, and this is not easy, to take on a very powerful corporate ruling class whose greed in many ways is destroying this country. We got to take them on and create an economy for all, not the few.
We're taking another break here, but when we come back, more Bernie Sanders, everybody. Stick around.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. The Daily Show podcast has everything you need to stay on top of today's news and pop culture. You get hilarious, satirical takes on entertainment, politics, sports, and more from Jon and the team of correspondents and contributors. The podcast also has content you can't get anywhere else, like extended interviews and a roundup of the weekly headlines. Listen to The Daily Show, Ears Edition, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody, we're back with the author of It's Okay to Be Angry About Capitalism, Senator Bernie Sanders. Yeah. All right, so what is it that makes you angriest about capitalism? Because we live in a capitalistic system.
What makes me angry is the massive inequalities that exist. A few blocks away from here, there are people sleeping out on the street. People are dying because they can't afford health care. And you got three people who own more wealth than the bottom half of American society. Nobody will ever convince me that that is morally or economically acceptable.
What do you say to the people who say that capitalism makes this the land of opportunity and the people who have the most money have taken advantage of that opportunity?
I'm not saying that these guys are breaking the law. I'm just saying that as an American citizen, I think that massive inequality is absolutely immoral, and it's bad economics because it spills over to our political system where these guys and their super PACs are spending hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars to elect people who represent the rich and the powerful. It spills over to our economy where in sector after sector, you have a handful of large corporations controlling what goes on and engaging in a lot of price fixing. So we need a vibrant democracy. We need an economy that works for all. We don't need a few people on top with such incredible wealth and power.
Well stated. I understand where you're coming from. Since we do live in a capitalistic society, let's look at the glasses half full. What makes you happiest about capitalism? I'll start. It's the money. Is there anything good you like about capitalism?
Yeah, we got a tremendous diversity of ice cream. Like the ice cream. A lot of great restaurants.
Sure.
Look, there's a lot. When I talk about capitalism, I'm not talking about mom and pop store or small businesses. We're talking about the concentration of ownership in the hands of a few. That's what we're talking about. I think that's got to be broken up. We can. This is especially with artificial intelligence and robotics and all the new technological changes. Stephen, we really do now, for the first time in human history, have the capability of providing a decent standard of living for all people. We don't need people to be living in poverty. We don't need, terrible schools. We are a rich country, and if we use our technology appropriately, we can do well by all.
Why haven't... I was looking at watching a little video today about the breaking up of Standard Oil over a century ago. Why isn't Amazon broken up?
Well,
it feels like between Amazon and Amazon Web Services. So, because even if you say, "Oh, I'm not going to work, I'm not going to use Amazon, I'm going to go some other place," if you go online, chances are you're using an Amazon Web Service. You're right. Making the money anyway.
Look, for many years, neither the Democratic or Republican parties had the guts to use antitrust law to break these monopolies up. Biden, to his credit, and his head of the FTC, is in fact beginning to move in the right direction doing that.
You were, I'm going to talk about a hearing that was earlier this year. You were chairing a Senate hearing where one of the Republican senators got up.
Mullins.
Mark Wayne Mullins got up, and he was going to fight a guy from the Teamsters who was testifying right there in the room. Sean O'Brien from the Teamsters. Going to fight. Okay. A, why'd you stop it? And second,
would have been good. Would have been good TV.
Great,
I know
great
you're
TV,
right.
Exactly.
Should have thought of it.
Super Bowl ratings. But to what degree has the Senate changed since you got there?
Look,
Was Lamar Alexander threatening to just jack slap somebody into next Tuesday?
Not in a million years.
Okay.
All right. Look, you know, Trump has helped foment right-wing extremism. And, you know, disrespect, I think, for a lot of things. And, you know, you're seeing more than that. Not only in the Congress, you're seeing it in state legislatures, people saying outrageous things, doing outrageous things. You're seeing people sending out Christmas cards, posing with massive weapons, numbers of weapons. So, you know, I think we are moving in a bad direction, and I hope very much we can turn that around. Because, Stephen, what I do want to tell you, as somebody who has had the opportunity to run for president, and I've been to every state in this country, and this is the truth. There are decent people all over the place, people who love this country, who want to see us do well, who are sick and tired of this very bitter partisanship and the kind of hatred that we're seeing today. And we got to bring those people to stand up and reclaim our country.
Senator Sanders, thank you so much for being here. It's okay to be angry about capitalism. It's now available in paperback. Senator Bernie Sanders, everybody. Thank you for listening to The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert. Just one more thing. If you want to see more of me, come to The Late Show YouTube channel for more clips and exclusives.
Enjoying this episode of The Late Show Pod Show? Then head to cohst.app/lateshow or visit the link in the description to fill out our quick 2-minute survey all about getting to know you.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. The Daily Show podcast has everything you need to stay on top of today's news and pop culture. You get hilarious, satirical takes on entertainment, politics, sports, and more from Jon and the team of correspondents and contributors. The podcast also has content you can't get anywhere else, like extended interviews and a roundup of the weekly headlines. Listen to The Daily Show, Ears Edition, wherever you get your podcast.